First things first, no Kyle Draper today. Drapes has the day off. He's back with us tomorrow, but we will be hearing from him in just a moment. Is that? Let me make sure I get confirmation of that from Jay. We're going to get Drapes takes today, right, Jay?
We are getting Drapes takes.
Yeah. What's what? Guys, I need the day off. Okay. Oh, but can I come back on and do Drapes takes? Fine. What is going on, Jay? Come in, do the show or don't, right?
Well, I'll let you say that.
I'm kidding.
I'll say this. Drapes does, and I'll give him this. He has a heck of a schedule, man.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
that.
He definitely
does.
Who knows what's going on?
Plus, he's got a sponsor.
He does.
Yeah, Drapes Takes. So we will have Drapes Takes coming up here at its usual time. But for the rest of the show, me and Jay today, we have Jay Triano is going to join us at 3. Emil Fragoso joins us at 4 to break down what's going on in the NFL. And look, between now and then, who knows what's going to happen? Because it's been a rather eventful day across the NFL landscape, Jay.
It has, you know, you just talked about it on the crosstalk here with the fellas Styles and Watkins. One of the great things, and I'm not the guy that's 24/7, 365 football guy, but it is hard to not pay attention when you see big names like Saquon Barkley move.
Sure.
You know, we talked about Xavier McKinney, Christian Wilkins.
Yeah,
when you see guys, Kirk Cousins, you know, you see names, you're like, oh, okay, I at least have to pay attention. And
Right. Besides
the fact of what we do, but as the casual fan or the fan who doesn't, you know, part of the media, it's always interesting, Whitey, to see some of these names move from one team to the other.
Yeah, and I'm sure Kyle Draper's taking note of the fact that his Eagles are doing some things. They're making some moves. You mentioned Barkley, and they picked up a tackle from the Jets. So the first thing that caught my eye yesterday, Jay, before we get to the Kings, of course, which for obvious reasons we're putting off. But, you know, the news that, oh, I think my wife told me first, oh, Eric Armstead's probably going to be leaving. And I understand it. You pointed out the reasons why, you know, intellectually, sure, but emotionally it kind of hurt a little bit.
Yeah, I can understand that. You know, I mean, besides the fact that he has ties here to the city.
Yeah.
And he does fantastic things for the city, you know, for the community. He's moving and grooving throughout the city. He's had numerous camps throughout the city. You know, I've seen him and his parents quite a few times down at the G1C. I mean, he is Sacramento, you know, and I respect that. Anybody who's rocking for the City of Trees, I have nothing but love for there, Whitey. And so I definitely understand that. And when you put two and two together, you know, the local team, so to say. I mean, we are the only local team at this point. But when the Raiders were here and growing up, I'm not 100% sure. I haven't heard this. Maybe you have. Did Eric Armstead grow up a Niner fan? I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I'd only be guessing. I kind of was assuming so, but it's a good question. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's probably something we need to figure out before the day is over. And I'll try to do my best. But I think
if he's not, I'm sure we'll hear about that real soon. I was never a Niner fan anyway.
As he moves over.
Yeah.
But, you know, I listen, one thing I don't do is I don't count people's pockets. And as much as, you know, we had conversations about the 49ers paying Brandon Ayuk, if it comes down to that, which I just think it's going to happen. For what the price tag of what Eric Armstead was required to be paid, you know, at 28.5, the team just said, look, they want to go in a different direction. And they offered.
Right.
Can we reconstructure,
yeah.
You know, restructure that deal? And Mr. Armstead said no.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to respect that. He want all his cash. He want all his bag.
I know. I just wish there was a way. He just seemed like he was a link, in my opinion, a real link, a strong bond between Sacramento and the 49ers. But I get it. Onward and upward.
Yep.
Wish the best for him. Now we'll have a link to Sacramento with whatever team he ends up playing for.
As long as it's not the Cowboys there's a few teams you just can't go.
I hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh.
If he goes to the Cowboys.
Oof. I was just feeling better about it. Then, ugh.
Yeah.
You got to stick me in the gut.
Yeah. Don't go there.
Louisville Slugger.
Don't go there. Yeah. The TPX. The old school TPX.
So as far as the Kings, I don't know about you, Jay. It's funny because we talked last week about the fact that, although, what are you worried about the Rockets? And even you said, nah, they should beat the Rockets. Understandable. But just watching the game yesterday, at no point was I feeling like, oh, what's wrong with them? I felt like, wow, they're getting beaten. You know, I think if they played the Rockets in a series, I think the Rockets, no matter what their record says, they're a real tough matchup. for the Kings. And I noticed yesterday with 3 minutes left in the half, the Kings were up 13. First half, it looked like, all right, here come the Kings. They're up 13. 2 minutes left in the half, they're still up 9. 1 minute left in the first half, they're still up 9. So you're, you know, you kind of got the game going your way. Then I think they ended the half, they were up 5. And then that third quarter was like, well, good night. I mean, in my opinion, they just got beaten by a team that at least yesterday was a better team.
Well, for me, Whitey, quite honestly, I think the Rockets are the quintessential opposite of what the Kings do. They're the antithesis. Say it for me.
Antithesis.
I'm struggling. There you go. Yeah. I'm struggling with it today.
You never try to say that word the day after daylight savings.
I know. That's true. Because, man, I feel it, too. Like, today, I really feel like the struggle is here, man. I woke up a little, you know, just slow.
Yeah.
Slow-mo, man.
Yeah,
it's
your
just,
brain's like, this isn't right. This
yeah,
isn't
feels right. Like you coming from Japan.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Yes, it does.
I just truly think the Rockets do what the Kings don't do very well. And you painted a picture a little bit on the crosstalk. They're athletic. They're quick. They're fast. You know, they're rough. They're rugged. They're very long. And the other part about it is there's some knuckleheads. And when I say knuckleheads, I mean, you know, from a standpoint of this, I think when you bump them, they bump you back.
Mm-hmm.
When you say something to them, they say something back to you.
Sometimes they don't wait for you to bump them or say something first.
Very true. They call it out to see if you're going to do it.
And they grab and clutch.
So I think they're the opposite of what the Kings, you know, strengths are. And I think it's shown over 3 games. And like you said, I'm willing to say, you know, if they were to play in a 7-game series, you can believe the Rockets aren't afraid of the situation. But I truly think they do things that the Kings dislike. They're not a good matchup for the Kings. And the other part about it is, you know, the word athletic is thrown around quite a bit. But one thing about them, they're going to go get it.
Yep.
Like, they're, you know, as you talked about Mike Brown talking about fast and speed and third-ranked offense and tempo and all that type of stuff, like, the Rockets don't care about none of that.
I think by NBA standards, again, by NBA standards, you know, everybody in the NBA is an elite athlete. But if you just go by NBA standards, how many guys on the Kings would you say are above average by NBA standards? I mean, we see teams come in here like, and he's a good player. I'm not saying he's a nobody, but Ayo Dosunmu last week with the Bulls came in as like, oh my goodness, they can't touch the guy, right? And yesterday, Amen Thompson, Cam Whitmore, you know, Jalen Green. It's like, well, the Kings just don't have an answer for guys like that right now.
No, and I think that's the, you know, when we use the word athletic, you know, like everybody's athletic in some form or fashion.
Right, but to that level,
correct.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the foot speed of what we see, the Trey Lyles, the Kevin Herders, you know, those type of guys, when you're trying to defend, you know, a Jabari Smith Jr., when you're trying a Cam Whitmore, like, you know, you're saying some of these guys, like, yeah, to the naked eye and stats and box scores, as we talk about here on the Drive Guys quite a bit, you know, if you're not reading that and you just look at the ball player, like one-on-one, those guys have an advantage over Trey Lyles. Mm-hmm. They have an advantage over Kevin Herter. They have an advantage over HB, you know, DeMontis.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see it. You see it, man.
Yeah. Let's take, like, just real quickly, the start of the fourth quarter. The Kings are trying to get back in the thing. And I think Jalen Green makes a three, their first possession. Second possession, Jeff Green, who, by the way, Mark Jones said yesterday, Jeff Green, who's 87 years old.
He literally said that. That's cold blood.
Yeah. So Jeff Green misses a runner. Okay, you get a stop. I think it was Jock Landale gets the rebound. And he goes up and he lays one right in the front of the rim, misses it from 2 feet. You get another stop. They get the rebound again, and then they end up getting a foul. So the athleticism, to me, where it really shows up with the Kings is at the defensive end. There's this old saying in basketball, oh, boy, defense is just all about desire. But it's not. If you're an athletic guy, and like Keon Ellis is a good example, he's long, he's strong, he's fast, he's quick, and that translates to the defensive end. He's a good defender. If you don't have those things, you know, it's really hard to play defense. And my point is, I think the Kings' relative lack of athleticism is one of the things that really hurts them when it comes time to trying to stop guys.
Yeah, I think especially when you got guys who, you know, points in the paint, they're going straight to the cup. You know, the one.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Yes.
They go right. They attack. They yes. go right at the rim.
Like the Rockets, they, you know, every NBA team shoots threes, a plethora of threes at this point. But the one thing the Rockets do, man, is they put the pressure on you because the way they're built, and I hate to keep using this word, athletically. Mm-hmm. They are very athletic. And you see it in the type of style of body that they're looking for, you know, and the style of player they're looking for. And even some of the guys who aren't there right now, you know, the Kevin Porter Juniors and stuff like that. Like, you can see where they're going. And then you have Ime Udoka added there, too. Like, their attitude, if nothing else, this season completely changed. Like, adding Coach Udoka and adding some of the players that they have, and then you add the Dylan Brooks, you know, those type of guys, their attitude is completely changed. And one thing about it is when you're, you know, you have a losing team, you have to, we always talk about develop culture. You have to develop a culture. And I think with Ime coming there, he's really installed it. But you could see where the Rockets were going the last year or two. And to add Dylan and Ime in there, man, it's, them boys ain't playing.
100% agree. I happened to see them live about a year ago when Steven Silas was the coach.
Yes.
You could tell it's like, they don't know what they're doing. They look like a bad high school team. They're not really. They look more like a JUCO team, you
yep.
know, where no one really knows each other yet.
Mm-hmm.
It was bad. And so he's done a great job with that. As far as the Kings go, I guess my point is, another point is, it's not that I watch that, oh, no, the Kings, oh, we're up or down. It's like, hey, you know what? We got meaningful games here. This is fun. I don't know where it's going to end up. They got the Bucks and the Lakers coming in.
Ooh.
That's going to be fun to see what happens. But
yeah.
I'm no longer am I looking at the team going, oh, what's going on? Oh, they lose this game. Oh, they're going to win. Oh, no. It's just like, I don't know. They are what they are right now, and they've got a lot of flaws, but they're playing meaningful games, so I'm going to enjoy it, Jay.
Sounds like I've won you over. And that's kind of what I've been preaching over the last 3 to 4 weeks here on a drive, guys. Is, listen, first of all, enjoy the basketball.
Yes.
Like, this is fantastic, right? The Kings are even in the postseason push and the playoff push. Like, I'm not just saying that we're paying the price of admission. I'm just saying, really, enjoy life. Enjoy basketball. Mm-hmm. The second part of it is this is who this team is.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been asking, I've been begging, I've been saying, I've been making statements. If you don't hear me say anything, understand this. This team, as you eloquently put, is a roller coaster team. Stop guessing any other way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are 19 games left, 18, 19 games left. What are we waiting on? Are we waiting on a flip of a switch or something spectacular to happen? A unicorn to fly out the sky? A pot at the end of the rainbow?
The like, unicorn ain't coming,
it
Jay.
Ain't coming. So this is the team that we have. We have to accept that. And as Drapes always talk about, no more excuses.
Right.
There's no more excuses for this team. They're going to win some games that we probably don't expect, probably coming up within the next two, and they're going to lose some games that you're like, oh, they're not. Well, no way they're going to win that game. And then guess what? Charlotte comes to town.
If they win the next two.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
Speaking of Drapes, we got Drapes Takes next with the Drive Guys on Sactown Sports. Yeah, we got a very special treat coming up in just a moment. Before we get to that, Whitey and Jay, I have a feeling we're going to hear from Drapes in a moment here. But, Jay, how did you think Allen Stiles was today, the day after his baby embarrassed him in the family name, in the baby race?
Wow. Embarrassed the name?
The baby
I had
no
idea. I wasn't able to catch their show, but as I was driving in, and I heard him talk about it a little bit, but talking to him in between shows, the fact that he's not happy. He's not happy that his young Styles stalled out on him, man.
He just wanted no part of it.
Yeah, he's already back to the drawing board. He's looking for ways, you know, to add some athleticism, some quick twitch muscles, you know, those things to the baby Styles.
Yeah, I think there's some dysfunction there in that whole Styles athletic program here.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah. Kings didn't fare well either yesterday, but right now, it's time for Drapes Takes.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man. Just take it easy.
Fellas. Let me start off by saying, after what happened last night, I deserve the day off. I deserve a mental health break day from talking sports. After what happened at Golden 1 Center last night, I deserve the sabbatical. I deserve time with the therapist. I deserve time on the couch. I don't know what to say, fellas. Jay watched the post-game show yesterday, And I'm at a loss for words. You know, usually Drape's take is a 3, 5, 7 minutes of Drape's just going hard. What can I say about this Sacramento Kings team right now? I'm at a loss for words, Whitey. I'm at a loss for Jay. At a loss for words, Jay. It, like, hurts my heart. Not when this team loses, but when they lose to a team they should beat. When they lose in this fashion. And so as a Kings employee, as a Kings fan, I'm hurting right now, fellas.
Yeah, I will
say. It doesn't feel any better, Whitey.
Yeah, I apologize. But it did seem in the first half, or most of the first half, like, hey, this thing's going to go the Kings' way. They played well.
Exactly, and that's the problem. I was talking to somebody earlier. It might have even been you the other day. It's like, forget about knowing what's going to happen game to game with these Sacramento Kings. Right now, we don't know what's going to happen quarter to quarter with this team. Like, they're inconsistent within the same game. It's not even game to game. I looked at the numbers, Whitey and Jay. Their third quarter has been abysmal. Even worse since the All-Star break. They're 24th in points in third quarter since the All-Star break. They're 25th in three-point percentage. Overall, for the entire season, they're 23rd in offensive rating. I don't know what happens at halftime, why they come out so slow, but they got to figure it out. Like, you remember when the Warriors were winning championships, what was their quarter? You guys remember.
Third quarter.
They come out and gash you. It's the opposite for the Sacramento Kings. Teams are gashing us, and it's killing us right now.
You know what's really weird, too? One of the Kings' very best players, Domas, has been so consistent. You rarely have we ever seen anybody in the NBA as consistent as he is. And yet the team around him is still overall so wildly inconsistent. It's puzzling.
It is puzzling. Outside of Domas, Fox, and Malik, we can't count on anybody. We don't know. Mike Brown doesn't know who's going to show up. Mm-hmm. My guy Kevin Huerter, hit or miss. Harrison Barnes, I'm going to throw Keegan Murray in there too. Something's going on. And if I'm Monty McNair, I think when you look back at it, Whitey, his decision to stand pat, per se, is because he expected guys to at least be similar, if not better, than last year. Keegan's numbers are down. I'm talking about shooting-wise. Kevin Huerter's numbers are down. These are two big parts of what you have. And guys, even De'Aaron Fox's efficiency numbers are down. Guys just aren't having the same seasons that they did a year ago. And I thought Monty came in there thinking that they would. And so we would be okay. Instead, guys have been under across the board, and it's hurting the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, you probably saw in The Athletic today, somebody wrote a piece about all the changes in NBA teams and their rotations and lineups since the season started. The Kings are one of the very few teams. They've made very few changes. They added Mason Jones. That's about it. And I think, you know, whether it's a miscalculation or what, they've grown stale right now. The Kings just looked yesterday, they looked like, you know, that box of Triscuits. It's like, oh my goodness. This lost its freshness back in November.
Right.
That's how they
look. You open it, take that little bite, and you're like, ooh, and you got to spit it out.
Yes.
You said miscalculation, Whitey. I agree 100% with you, because when you look at it, the miscalculation on running the roster back, the miscalculation on not doing anything at the trade deadline, miscalculation on Sasha, I know he's been injured, Chris Duarte. Like, there have been as many hits as Monty has had, whether it's Domas, drafted Tyrese, Keegan Murray. This last year, it's been sort of underwhelming. And so I think miscalculation is a good word for it.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting yesterday. Coach Brown, he made a point several times of saying after the game, hey, before today, our offense was rated third since the All-Star break. So for some reason, Mike Brown really wanted to make a point, make it clear the offense had been playing better. The fact that he emphasized that, I don't know what it means, but to me it was interesting.
Yeah, it was. I heard that as well. And, you know, maybe it's playing better. Maybe the numbers indicate it. But, Coach, the bottom line is this team is 500 since January 1. I think it's 15-15 over their last 30 games. That's not good. Something has to improve. My next take has to do with the defense. You know, I thought the offense could rescue us. I thought the offense would be where we hang our calling card. But we're not an elite offensive team right now. And I know Mike says since the All-Star break, the numbers are better. I get that. But anytime you hit six threes, you're not going to beat anybody in the NBA. And the fact that you allowed Houston to not just hit 12. 12 is not a lot, but they shot 41% from three-point range. Like, when are we going to lock somebody down and hold them to 28%, 18%? Why do teams always have to have big games from the three-point line against us? And I understand your offense wasn't flowing. I understand you held them to 112 points. But I tell you what, they made shots when it mattered the most. They got back in the game at the end of that second quarter and in the third quarter. Once Fred VanVleet started hitting those threes in the second quarter, Houston had confidence, and then it was a wrap.
I would just say kind of a footnote to that, Kyle. We talked about this Friday. The Kings, again, only took 32 threes. You know, they were averaging around 40. They had another game where they only took 32, and that's something we're going to ask Jay Triano about when he joins us today at 3 o'clock. Whoops. There we go. Hold on.
Yeah, you got me?
Yeah. You start that phrase over. It sounded like you were underwater, but we got you now.
Yeah, please ask Jay about that, because I don't know if it's a philosophy shift within the organization, the coaching staff, or what, but let's keep it real. This team lives and dies by the three. And so if we're trying to limit the threes, that sort of counteracts what we're who we are, I think. If we're going to let it fly then. Mm-hmm. And so I'm frustrated. But here we are, 19 games left to go. And as a Sacramento Kings fan, I'm going to say, what we want is still within reach, Whitey. That's what's so frustrating about this. Phoenix ain't doing nothing. Dallas not doing anything. Lakers ain't doing anything. We still can be a top six team, but every game it seems like there comes a stretch where fans are let down, and that's frustrating to me. Mm-hmm.
That's a bad matchup for him in my eye, too, playing the Rockets. I know the Rockets, they've only won 29 games now, and I get that. A team like that comes into your place, you're supposed to beat them. But that's a very physical team, an athletic team, and I do think right now they're just a tough matchup for the Kings.
Exactly. Think about it. Seven of your losses have come against the Pelicans and Rockets. Mm-hmm. And there are certain teams, the style they play, you know, you look at the Pelicans, you look at this Rockets. I'm going to throw Boston in there. We're going to see another team like that come Saturday in the New York Knicks, Whitey. Ah. That sort of just plays with this physicality, this never say die attitude, this in your face. They're going to talk some trash. They're going to dare you. They're going to try to punk you. That's what's going to happen come Saturday. And one of these days, we have to sit back and say, you know what? I'm not going to let the bully win. We're going to be the bully tonight. And I feel like that's what's been happening, man. You look at these matchups you're talking about, Pelicans, Rockets, especially freaking Dylan Brooks yesterday, hitting threes and everything, guys grabbing De'Aaron Fox. We need guys to get angry, not at each other, not at the coaching staff. Get angry at the opponent. Get angry at the opponent kicking our butts up and down the floor in our building. That's what we need, Whitey.
Who's the most likely guy on the team to do that? Is it still Trey Lyles, as we've been discussing?
Yeah, Trey's been playing with a bit of an edge, a little anger to him. You know, I don't know what's going on with Trey, but it hasn't been against the opponent. Like, I feel like Trey is sort of almost set up like, guys, we got to be better. And I think you're going to start seeing, you know, whether it's a hard foul, whether it's some frustration, whatever it may be. Trey Lyles, I'd love to see Malik be that guy too. Let's keep it real. I think Malik has that fire as well. We need somebody to sort of like set De'Aaron off, you know, give De'Aaron a push or talk some trash. And then you see the De'Aaron Fox come out and really just try and take over. I don't know, man. It's just frustrating, fellas. I'm frustrated right now. I decided to take today off, but I wanted to come in and hit you up with Drake's Takes, which is brought to you by Ausco Uniforms. Discover why it pays to keep clean with Ausco Uniforms. That's Drake's Takes for today, Whitey.
We appreciate it. Thanks for checking in. We miss you. Any chance we can get you signed to maybe a 10-day, and then you can be on the bench, and then you can be that kind of agitator that maybe the Kings need?
Hey, I tell you what. You know, I went to school at Temple University in Philadelphia. Remember the great John Chaney?
Yeah.
Remember when he went after John Calipari? Remember when he sent the goon, quote-unquote goon, into the game? Yeah. I may have to be that goon, Big Fella. Hey, if they sign me to that 10-day money, I would be that goon for the squad, no doubt.
Real quick, because you're not here, and I know we'll get the full synopsis tomorrow. How be it the Philadelphia Eagles with the move of Saquon Barkley today, Drapes? Is he now your guy?
This is amazing. It's first of all, it's a great day to be a Philadelphia. I think my boy Tyrese Maxey is cleared from concussion protocol, so he's good to go. And then we get Saquon. And Jay, I told you before I got on air, this is our CMC. This is our Christian McCaffrey. This is a guy that adds a three-down back, a different dimension. If I'm the Niners, I'm worried about Philly right now.
How many times has he said that in the last 4 months?
They didn't have Saquon.
This time I really mean it. This time I really mean it.
They got a pretty good tackle, too. Yeah, they've had a good day. Had a good day. Hope you have a good day, too. Thanks. We will see you tomorrow.
All right, fellas. See y'all tomorrow.
Yeah, Drapes takes. Some notes of encouragement in there, but a very frustrated Kyle Draper today sounding off. When we come back, why the Kings are so frustrating and why they probably shouldn't be. Next with the Drive Guys on Sunday. Kings had some success with their zone yesterday, which they kind of had to resort to. Like, oh, we can't stop man-to-man. They actually had some success, helped to get back in that game, which ultimately, of course, they lost. To Drive Guys today, we just heard from Kyle Draper, special edition of Drape's Takes. He's very excited about the Eagles. We have this on the YouTube chat from Aaron. Saquon Barkley will be great for the half of the season that he plays.
Man.
Comment of the day nominee right there. And did you just, Jay, I apologize. Mm-hmm. Did you just have an update for us?
Yeah. My apologies. According to Adam Schefter, the Niners have signed Leonard Floyd of the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, we'll have a meal on at 4 o'clock, talk about that. You know, it's going to be the opposite of Bosa on that line. Someone, you know, fast off the line, something that the 49ers have been they're always looking for, mm-hmm. someone off the line.
Yeah, they love Kyle Shanahan sees the quarterbacks and pass rushers as real difference makers. But with Eric Armstead apparently on the way out, you know, that middle of the defensive line, it's like, you got to have somebody there, right?
Yeah.
I know that they got ran over last year, but you still have to have somebody there. So, we'll talk that over with Emil. Do you think the Bosa brothers will reunite in Santa Clara?
You know, I would like to, but I think Leonard Floyd kind of puts a little bit of a damper on that. But as you said, one thing about John Lynch, he's going to take 46 defensive linemen any way he can make it make sense. You know, Bosa and Floyd both coming off the end. And so I now with Floyd being signed, I would be a little hesitant to say that, but mm-hmm. I don't put it past him.
I wonder if that means that Daniil Hunter is now somebody that they're no longer interested in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a 2-year deal for Leonard Floyd from the Bills joining the 49ers. Things are happening today across the National Football League. Were you surprised Mac Jones got traded for a 6-round pick?
No.
I'm not surprised, but I'm surprised it kind of got to this point. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, of course he was, but wow. Just think how badly the 49ers wanted him a couple years ago.
Well, I'm glad it didn't happen that way, and everything played out for a great way for the 49ers. But, yeah, I think it would have been a little bit different in the 49ers system. You know, we know that Kyle operates at a high level when it comes to offense, and I think the one thing people have questioned, and if there is anything to question about Bill Belichick, is without Tom Brady, you know, how does this mm-hmm. offense really run and operate? And so I think there would have been a little bit of difference. You know, we're at the same time, we know Kyle's not a defensive guy. We've seen him put his defensive, you know, in so many different people's hands at this point now. And I don't think, you know, there's question on the opposite side of what Kyle Shanahan does very well. I think some people question Belichick. It sounds crazy because he's won so many Super Bowls. But, you know, you got Tom Brady. So a lot of people adhere to the fact that Tom Brady was guiding your offense.
You know, for all the faults of Steve Wilks, the way things didn't appear to work, they still had the best scoring defense in the NFL. Isn't that the idea? It's like, what is the defense supposed to do? Keep the other team from scoring. They had the number one scoring defense in the NFL, and still they're parting ways with Steve Wilks. Just not a good fit, I guess.
Yeah,
they should have known that.
Yes, agreed. I don't think the system that Steve runs coincides with what they have, the talent that they have. And it just goes to show how talented Steve Wilks is, and at the same time how talented their defensive players were this past year, to where things probably didn't mesh 100%. They didn't mold into, you know, the beautiful painting or sculpture that they wanted, but they still made it to the playoffs and Super Bowl, I should say, and albeit they were right there at the end.
I think it's fair to say the 49er defense, for all its flaws, was better than the Kings defense. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, come on now. The Kings defense going back to even last year, we've understood that they need a Steve Wilks, a Robert Saleh, a D'Amico Ryans, a Mike Brown. They need everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, they need some better defenders on the floor, too. That's my point here. You know, as much as we get frustrated and as much as they drive us crazy with this and that, I think sometimes the inconsistency of the Kings, it's not something that's really within their control. Bear with me.
Yeah.
You know, we look at it and go, what's wrong with them? They know that they can beat this team. Why do they play so badly against that team? But when your defense is really not very strong and teams can take advantage of that, then it's not just a matter of you focusing on your opponent. Sometimes teams take advantage of your bad defense, and it's hard to be consistent when you're having a hard time getting stops.
I think you're spot on, Whitey. It's almost like this. If you have a, let's just say you have a Volkswagen. I'm not sure. Are you a car guy, my man?
I don't have a Volkswagen. I have a Toyota.
Well, not what you have, but are you into cars?
A little bit.
All right. Like, do you research them? Are
no.
you into old school hot rods? Any
hot
you know, racing?
Hot wheels. Yeah.
If I gave you a wrench, a pair of pliers, you know, maybe a socket wrench without the proper headings. If I gave you, you know, like if I gave you a basic set of tools. And I'm not saying the Kings have basic set of tools. But then I give you, you know, a fly pair of rotors and a fly pair of drums. Mm-hmm. But I give you some cheap brakes, right? And then I take all of that, go put this on this Volkswagen. I'm just saying, there's going to be certain things that don't mesh well.
Right.
And if you don't have the proper tools to do the job that you need, then you're going to get the best that you possibly can. Now, look, you can put some, you know, as you, everyone who has had a car understands this. When you go and buy some replacement parts, you can go to AutoZone, O'Reilly's, you get them online. So many different places you get them. So many different versions. OEMs, you know, I don't mean to go, you have knockoffs, you have generics, you have top of the line. If we're utilizing the wrong size brakes, and the wrong brand, so to say, and you're putting them on something, they may absolutely work if it comes down to just having to stop this car. If they have to stop the car, yeah, you can pull an emergency brake. But at the same time, if you don't have the proper size or the proper, you know, brakes, proper brand, proper size, whatever, they're not going to do the best job for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you just have to have the proper tools to be the best that you possibly can be. And I think that's what we've seen with the Sacramento Kings over and over and over and over. And just because we want, as Drape said, you know, or you've said, just because we want you to do well doesn't mean that you're going to do well.
I understood everything you said until you mentioned a socket wrench. Everything yeah. after that, I've
no. You're out.
I agree with you. That's why I really do believe that people coming after Mike Brown, it's wrong. And you're entitled to it, and fans are going to fan. And I respect it. But you look at this team, and it's basically the same team as last year. Sure, I know. Well, what about TD? I know there's a few differences. It's the same starting lineup as last year. And right now they look like they're getting a little worn down. Teams are figuring them out. They don't have any new parts. They're still the same porous defense that they were last year. And yet Mike Brown still has his team. And the players, too. It's not like he's doing it all and they're not doing any of it. They're in position to be a playoff team.
Yeah.
I think he deserves more credit for that than he does blame. If you're going to look at this team and then say, wow, this is a 50-win team and Mike Brown's dragging them down, you're delusional. That is not what's going on here.
No, not at all. Definitely. I can't agree with you more. I think the coaching staff has done a pretty good job on, you know, bringing this team together and getting as far as they did last year and trying to move the needle even more. But I just think, you know, expectations as we continue to keep on talking about expectations, but even remove the expectations from it, is this. We all want the best. I don't think anybody's down there trying to sabotage what's going on at the G1C and in the organization. As fans, we're looking for, you know, championships. We get it. We understand that. And when they fall short, we find excuses. We find reasons. With all that being said, I don't think there's any more excuses as a fan to understand, like, this is the team that they have right now. I understand the frustration with that. I can understand that. believe me, we all want more. Mm-hmm. But this is what we have in hand right now. You got to make do. And that's what we're seeing. Some games, they're going to rise up, go get the Lakers. Some games, they're going to sneak by the Spurs. And some games, they're going to get ran out the gym by the Rockets.
Yeah. I'm not saying you shouldn't have high standards and high hopes and expectations, especially when you're paying a lot of money.
Yes.
But you made the point earlier. It's March. Tomorrow and the next night, the Bucks and the Lakers are coming into Sacramento.
Better believe
the games matter. These are meaningful games.
Mm. Especially that Laker game.
I'll take that. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the scary part is teams like the Spurs who came in last week, I think next year they might be pretty good. The Rockets who came in yesterday, that's a team that's on the rise with a lot of good young talent. So next year when the Kings are trying to get better and they're trying to chase down some of the teams ahead of them, they also got to worry about some of those teams behind them.
You better believe it.
It gets really dicey. The longer you stand pat, say, oh, it's not time to make a move, the more difficult it gets, the trickier it gets when you finally decide to make that move.
Agreed. Totally agree. And that's not a Mike Brown. Like, Mike Brown's not picking up the phone. He's not calling other teams. He's not calling GMs. He's not, he's not hunting for other players. It's against the grain. You can't do it.
Right. Right.
And so –
I thought it was legal tampering. Well, in the NFL, you can't.
Well, in the NFL, it's all good, brother. NFL, they turn a blind eye.
Yeah.
So does tampering. The association does too, though.
Yeah.
Because as soon as free agency hit, all of a sudden it's like, oh, Bradley Beal signed a 5-year, $180 million. Like, man, in 30 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Some of the small market teams complain about that. But that's where we are with the Kings right now. What's going to happen tomorrow? Jay, what's going to happen against the Bucks? I don't know.
I'm thinking they're going to get the win. I've been pretty spot on, pretty close.
That's why I ask you.
Let me think about it a little more. Our first thought is I think they're going to get the win. But because they play the Lakers, see, I think they match up. I might say lose to the Bucks, win for the Lakers. Call me back. Hit me back a little later.
We will. We will do that. And when we come back, yes, it appears a local 49er favorite is leaving. Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Jay and Whitey today. We got Jay Triano, Kings assistant coach, coming up top of the hour. By the way, we have women's basketball Sun Belt championship on one of the monitors up here. Somebody just got smacked in the mouth.
Mm-mm.
And had to sit down, and it's bleeding and everything. Reminds me one time we were playing against Vallejo High, Jay, and I caught an elbow right in the chops. Was a bah, which would have been bad enough, but my tongue was between my teeth, so when I got elbowed in the jaw, smack. My jaws shut on a piece of my tongue, like,
oh, man.
I had a little flap of my tongue.
So what'd you do? Would you have slide to
it? It
healed?
Yeah.
Naturally?
But it was, it stung a little bit, when you eat, especially something salt.
Ooh-wee, don't eat none of that lemon, that salt.
Ah! Ow!
Yeah. Took it like a champ.
Yeah.
You didn't even have to put no dirt on it.
No.
That's the way we
roll in Vallejo. Like,
okay. The Valley
tough
Joe.
Tough seafaring nautical town. Bare knuckle boxing in the streets. So.
Crestside creeper.
And I'll tell you who plays like that with that kind of spirit is Leonard Floyd.
Yes, sir.
The newest edge rusher of your San Francisco 49ers. According to NFL Media and Ian Rappaport, Leonard Floyd has agreed to a 2-year deal with the 49ers. So it's worth $20 million with a maximum value of $24 million. He also receives $12 million guaranteed in 2024. That's the thing with NFL numbers.
Yeah.
Contracts, you have all these amounts. Like, yeah, he'll never actually get that. Pay attention to the guarantees.
Yes.
So $12 million guaranteed next year. He spent last year with the Bills, 10.5 sacks, 9 tackles. And, when the 49ers – got Sorensen to be the defensive coordinator, but then they also brought in Brandon Staley.
He used to play for him.
Well, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Leonard Floyd used to play for Brandon Staley with the Bears in 2017, 2018. And Leonard Floyd was number 38 on Pro Football Talk's list of 100 top free agents. So, yes, Eric Armstead looks like he's on his way out, and that's unfortunate. But the 49ers have already made a big move today.
Yeah, they add outside linebacker or edge rusher or however you want to see Leonard Floyd. Either way, he's going to play on the outside opposite of Nick Bosa. And
he's going to get the quarterback.
Yes, go get him. And so there's still opportunity for, a big hog molly to clog the middle up right there in the middle of the beyond the center defensive tackle where Eric Armstead
don't
is played.
Don't you miss DJ Jones?
Sounds like he's on the short list. You know, from the Broncos, he slipped out of San Francisco's hand and went up and grabbed some money from Denver. Now look like he might be on the short list of coming back here to San Francisco, which is all good. I thought he was very serviceable, and maybe he's taking the next step of, you know, being up there and being a starter and getting some money and coming back.
Mm-hmm. Leonard Floyd, by the way, he was on the field for 54% of Buffalo's defensive snaps.
So I like it. He's available.
With all the money that the 49ers have invested in front, I mean, after they went out, they got Hargrave, and then you got Bosa, and they spent all the money on Bosa. Are they still like this? Were they still not good enough? I know they didn't have a lot of sack numbers, pardon me, but they put a lot of pressures on the quarterback. On the other hand, you get one sack of Mahomes when you needed one, you would have won the Super Bowl.
True, very true. I will say this, and I saw this, and I can't remember who list it was. I have to go back and look this up. Maybe you did. Javon Hargrave was ranked the number one worst off-season signing last year by someone. And something I said on the show quite a bit was the 49ers had so much of talent, a plethora of talent, that they interchanged and intermingled so many people a lot of times. And one of my pet peeves were, listen, you're paying Javon Hargrave extremely too much money for him not to be on a third down goal line stand and him operate. But maybe there was something to it. Maybe he, you know, what he did over in Philadelphia hasn't crossed over to San Francisco yet. Maybe he got too comfortable with big money. I'm not exactly sure, but I do know this. We're going to find out about Javon Hargrave very, very quickly. Because he didn't do a lot last year. And a lot of people, especially now that Armstead is gone, Whitey, they're going to be leaning on him. They're going to be looking for him to have a fantastic year, something that we've seen him have over in Philadelphia. And if he doesn't, we might be saying the same thing about him next year. And I'm not saying that's why Armstead is gone. It sounds like they wanted to bring him back, but he just didn't want to relinquish that $28 million that was coming his way. And I don't blame him. But at the same time, Hargrave's got a lot of making up to do next year.
Yeah. With Armstead, I believe they had kicked the can down the road on his deal like twice already.
Yes.
Like, you the last couple years. Now? Okay. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, it's like you got to pay the piper. So it's like, well, we can't pay you all that. But you take less to stay. And he's like, no. I'm not going to. But of all the apparent issues the 49er defense had last year, you know, given that they still gave up fewer points than anybody, but they weren't what they had been. And I think stopping the run had to be the biggest issue, right? And so that's where, you know, for all the focus on getting the quarterback, did they get the pressures? They got their, the middle of their line got shoved back into the linebackers far too often last year.
Absolutely. And part of the reason was Armstead just wasn't available, never was on the field. You know, and he sucked it up in the playoffs, so shots out to him when it comes to that. But truth is truth. And there's been a few times over the last few years where, you know, he's been banged up quite a bit.
Plantar fasciitis. It's understandable, but
absolutely. You know, but the one thing I will give, and one of the things I should give him, because, you know, all love for the Sacramento native, is when it came time to ball in the playoffs, Armstead showed up. I'll give him that. Mm-hmm. You know, and here I go talking about Hargrave not having the best year last year. One thing about Armstead, and I was a huge DeForest Buckner fan, like huge guy. I thought, and he continues to ball out up there in Indianapolis. But one thing about Armstead was when the lights were on, as Floyd Mayweather say, when the lights come on, man, we see who's the difference, who's the difference maker. I thought Armstead really was in the playoffs.
Yeah, the whole Buckner deal long term hasn't really worked out for him the way they hoped it
would. No, not at all.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Wilborn Raider Laker. On the chat says, yes, Armstead grew up a Niner fan.
Okay, so, shots out. Mm-hmm.
So that's too
appreciate
bad.
That confirmation.
Yeah. Emil's going to join us at 4 o'clock with the latest on what's going on in free agency. What did you think of Kirk Cousins, $45 million per year on a four-year deal with the Atlanta Falcons?
I'm just going to say this, and I tweeted this out. I haven't taken the time to invest the research in who his agency or who his agent is. But all things aside, if I'm a football player, if I'm coming out in the draft, if I'm a free agent, I'm looking for representation, I'm looking for that agency and that person. I mean, Kirk Cousins is very average in many ways.
And he turns 36 in August. Dude, and he tore an Achilles tendon his last game.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
4 years, $180 million. And the deal includes, as we said, with NFL contracts, you got to look at, all right, but what's the guarantee?
Shouts out to
$50 million signing bonus, $100 million guaranteed.
Man, get your money, man. That's all I could say. Couldn't be me. Wouldn't be me. Wouldn't be happy to see him sign with my team. Couldn't, I mean,
I was going to ask mediocrity. If you're a Falcons fan. How are you feeling right now?
Mediocrity.
Are you feeling better?
9-8 coming your way.
Better or worse if you're a fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers and they get Russell Wilson. Veterans minimum, $1.2 million with the Broncos paying the rest of his $37.8 million salary.
Cheap rental. They went the dollar rental and got a little bit of nothing, you know, and see if it works.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll be talking more about those moves today, and I'm sure in the weeks to come when we come back to the Kings and their fine assistant coach, Jay Triano, is going to join us. Drive, guys. That's next. Sacktown Sport.